Caroline de Richmond, certified nurse practitioner, clinical lipid specialist with Geisinger Cardiology, is in the studio. So is my buddy Mark Davis, who is sharing the story about his heart situation that has been rescued, right? Stent put in.
Absolutely.
He wanted to do this show to make a difference, and we have a full bank of phones. But the question, Caroline, that I want you to answer first is, and I want to read it again. I'm a 39-year-old truck driver. I do not have a primary health physician. I've never had any of those tests done. Now you got me shaking in my seat here. What do I do?
Well, first of all, having an awareness of your family history. Know your family history. You know, when I grew up, they told me my Aunt Midge died of old age. I found out she was 43. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Know your family's lineage. Is there heart disease in the family? Were the men between the age of 45 and 50? Were the women between 55 and 60? Do you have a healthy lifestyle? Are you eating a healthy diet? Are you exercising? Are you nourishing your temple, as I always say to my patients? Are you nourishing your body? With that being said, living a healthy lifestyle and getting preventative things such as a cholesterol panel. The truck driver, I'm sure, has to have a CDL exam, so he has access to some of those clinics where they're able to do that. He can inquire about the cost for that. For the rest of you folks that have a primary care provider, talk to them about it. Because there is a protocol that they have to test folks. But I can't stress enough, if there is heart disease in the bloodline, the earlier, the better to pick this up. Mark noted his son, 18 years old, is on cholesterol medicine. And as I mentioned earlier, some of my patients' children are 6 years old on cholesterol because they found these alarmingly high levels due to familial hypercholesterolemia. Family high cholesterol.
Frank, we're part of a Facebook group, the FH Foundation.
Right.
You cannot believe the stories from across the country of the families that are going through this. Millions of people. And it gets even worse for any child who both parents have it.
Correct.
Because when they have it both sides, a mother and a father, there are kids 7 and 8 years old that are having bypass surgery or that paresis you talked about where they clean out the cholesterol almost like a dialysis situation.
Wow.
It's estimated that 90% of the patients are not diagnosed. We've only skimmed the surface, and we need to reverse that.
For sure. Let's go to the phones. Larry, you're first from Troop. What's your question for Caroline?
Hey, Frank. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. In 2009, I'm 58 years old. In 2009, I got a stent in my right coronary artery. And it's been working fine ever since. Again, it was like I had indigestion for no rhyme or reason at 3 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon. My doctor was smart enough to say, well, you take antacid. Let's switch over to this antacid. And just to rule out anything with your heart, let's get you on a stress test. I took the stress test and, like Mark, failed miserably. But they said it was, they don't say that to you when they call you. But in the event, my stent's been in since 2009, so 10 plus years. Does it still last, or do you have to get the stent replaced? Or
you will die with that stent in you, Larry. That stent will be
really
there. Yes. However, you have to reduce your risk factors. You need to be on cholesterol lowering agents.
I am. My doctor.
Take
my doctor and. Yeah, he immediately put me on, you know, cholesterol medication and recently upped it since the levels by the, I don't know if it's the government or whatever, went down and lowered it. So he cranked me up even higher. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. But it all comes down to not only these procedures. 90% is for you. It's a healthy lifestyle. Our patients, including Mark, is going to go to cardiac rehab. And at our cardiac rehab, we do have a Dean Ornish program, which is a whole lifestyle and change the way we eat to more plant-based. So it's not
Have you met my wife?
Larry, I'm going to ask you to listen off air because we got a million phone calls. Yes.
We haven't had meat in 6 months or more.
Yeah.
Everything is plant-based, vegetarian, and everything else. And
I think it was a bit much, though, that she gave you a stock of broccoli for Valentine's Day.
But the point of it is there are so many recipes out there, and if you work at it, as Caroline knows she does, it's not that difficult because you have a variety of things that taste like meat when they're not meat.
Right.
And my weight is down. Since I've been with Caroline, I've lost another 15 pounds.
I know.
By changing my diet.
All right. We have lots of phone calls, but I'm going to take Francine first from Music because she has a question about a difference between men and women. Francine, you're on the air. What's your question?
Hi, Frank. Hi, Carol. I super love today's show because at 56, a year and a half ago, I had a widowmaker. My RAD was 100% blocked. I lived.
Congratulations.
Thank you. God has a plan for me because, as I understand, only 7 or 8 out of 100 may live through the severe block I had. Now, I didn't know what was going on as a female. I was caregiving. I was working. I had a little bit of pain in my right shoulder, but I thought, pulled a muscle. Or I had some agita. It didn't matter. My stomach was off. That was on a Friday night. By Monday morning, I am sweating profusely. I am throwing up, and I now lost my breath and could no longer talk.
So your point is that sometimes there can be different symptoms. Francine, I'm going to ask you to listen off-air as Caroline talks about that. Go ahead.
Well, yes, women are very different from men.
Yeah.
It is true. And in my lifetime, when I was young, in 1963, the American Heart Association had their first symposium for women. And it was entitled Hearts to Husbands. It was to teach women how to care for their husbands after a heart attack. That's true. Finally, in the 90s, after the American Heart Association and the American Cardiology Society noted that still 75% of women didn't think a heart attack could happen to them. The most recent guidelines were published in 2011 for women prevention. And women, when we have women who give birth and have any of these three complications, pregnancy-induced hypertension, diabetes during pregnancy, or preeclampsia, where we see high blood pressure and they hold on to a lot of fluid, this tells us the vascular beds are not normal at the time when they gave birth. And these women need to be followed very, very closely over the years because they're at higher risk.
Wow. This next question from Steve in Dallas is one that I have had on my mind. Steve, what's your question for Caroline?
Yes, Frank, I'll be very brief. I know there's a lot of callers, but I'd like to ask Caroline if aspirin therapy still held in high regard?
Excellent question. There have been some newer guidelines. If you have a medical indication, for instance, Mark.
Yep.
Mark with his familial hypercholesterolemia before I even had his anatomy defined on a cardiac catheterization, he had one of the lipoproteins, which is the twine around the cholesterol, was very high. And we see this with patients with familial hypercholesterolemia. Higher risk for cardiovascular disease, for stroke, clot formation. So definitely, even his son is on an aspirin because his is high.
And I've been on aspirin for 20 years.
And when we say aspirin, we mean baby aspirin.
Baby aspirin. Baby 81
aspirin.
Milligrams.
Right.
You can get it at Walmart. You get 60 pills for a buck. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
Have
you.
But now that I'm up, now that I have a stent, I'm on Brilinta, which is a super duper blood thinner.
Right.
So I can't cut myself or anything else. I've got a bruise easier because it keeps my blood so thin until, is it the scar tissue grows around where the stent has been implanted?
It'll keep the blood flowing through there and not coat the stent and block it off again.
Right.
And Mark will be on an aspirin for life.
Yep.
Joseph, calling from Scranton. What's your question or comment, Joe? Joseph, are you there? Joe couldn't hang on. We've got a lot of phone calls. Okay, well, what about me? I don't have family history. I take a baby aspirin every day. Is it just a waste of time?
Well.
I have heard it prevents blood clots.
It does, but.
Plus, you're a runner. You do triathlons and everything
else.
Yeah,
I'm doing a triathlon Saturday.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's not necessary. But the people that take it, I still have people that need to have it and come to me and they say, don't want to take it. They're fearful of a brain bleed. They're fearful of stomach ulcers and things like that.
Okay, you ready for a question?
Yeah.
I'm adopted. What if you have no family medical history? What do you do? How do you help people like me? What kind of research can you do to find out what I need?
Again, it goes back to prevention and getting a cholesterol panel. We know that 75% of women, and this goes back to Francine's question earlier, 75% of women have had a pap smear, but less than 25% have had a cholesterol panel in their lifetime.
Okay, cholesterol, when you keep saying that, so when my doctor says, here's your script, go get blood work, is that automatically included, or do I have to ask for it?
Right, well...
It may or may not be, right?
Correct. And what it is we call it lipids.
Lipid profile,
now, cholesterol is harder to say for some people, so I don't know why the public doesn't call it lipids, but here's the bottom line. In that panel, and you need to be fasting 6 to 8 hours, because we want your liver empty.
Right.
And in that panel, what we'll come out with three things. The lousy lethal cholesterol, or the LDL, which is a problem with people with familial hypercholesterolemia. The HDL, which is the high healthy cholesterol, which goes and brings the bad cholesterol back to the liver for processing. And then the third factor will be the triglycerides. And they come from everything we know and love, cookies, candies, and booze.
Yep.
And if they're elevated and if there's a mixture there, quite often I see people in my lipid clinic and I can say, this looks like diabetes, and I will test them for diabetes. So there's many things we can pick up through the cholesterol panel. I had a gentleman right before I came here today who had an anterior wall myocardial infarction, a heart attack, 56 years old. His LDL was 206.
206?
And he was not on cholesterol medicine.
Because they never... In my world, that's like a five-alarm fire.
You want to take that guy and shake him. What's wrong with you?
Well, you know what? The thing is that we find that statin medicines get a bad rap. People will say they ache. Why do they ache? Because people who have coronary disease, cancers, autoimmune disorders such as psoriasis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis... have very low vitamin D levels. And when you take a statin drug, Crestor or Lipitor or any of the others, people will say, I ached all over. I don't want to take them.
And that's why I take vitamin D every day.
Right. Boy, I tell you, you are bringing up stuff that is just sparking a million responses here. But we got to do traffic and weather. But folks, listen, we've cleared up a couple of lines there. And I know I had to hang up on some people. But 8830098. And listen, from my point of view, Mark wanted to do something to change lives, to make a difference. And man, we are. So Caroline is here. You can ask a question. I mean, it would take you a couple of weeks to get an appointment with her if you wanted it. So you got one right now. 8830098. You know, I'm so happy with the response, because Mark wanted to make a difference, and every phone line is busy, and we've got a million questions, and Caroline is here, and I'm going to go to Bob in Old Forge. And Bob, you have a question about cholesterol meds? Robert, are you there? I'll go to John in McAdoo. What's your question about cholesterol, John?
How you doing, Frank? And it's Carolyn. About 10 years ago, I had a stent put in the Widowmaker thing. And then 5 years ago, I had a stroke. I've been taking these cholesterol medications and the hypertension medications. And I take a ton of pills every day. And the thing is, these cholesterol ones, I mean, they drain me physically. I don't feel good. I have no energy, and I've been on them for a long time. You'd think I'd be used to these, but it makes my life semi miserable.
All right, John, let's get, because you're representing a lot of call of people talking about some of the side effects of the cholesterol meds.
Okay, well, first of all, statins are the drugs that have been researched the most in the world. And we have randomized trials that show us most benefit to stabilize plaque, prevent blockages, prevent heart attacks. Saves 12 million lives minimally every year. Will people always tolerate them? No, but you need to work with your provider. Now, there are some people that I care for that have taken one of the statins and broke out in a rash. That's definitely a contraindication.
Well, I had a woman in church that was telling me that she was put on cholesterol drugs and her legs ache.
Now, quite often, as I mentioned earlier, many of the people that need statin drugs have pre-existing problems that lower the vitamin D. Everyone thinks it's the vitamin D comes from the sun solely. But many of these patients that we see, such as Mark, having coronary artery disease, psoriasis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, have lower vitamin D levels. So when you take a statin, it brings the aches out. And the aches will not be on one side of the body, it'll be on both sides of the body, and it's usually the big muscles in your legs when you walk up the steps. I have several firefighters and also a couple electricians I take care of, and they got aches in their back because they're so physical. Mm. The bottom line is, many people stop taking their statin drugs and say the heck with it. They need to work with somebody. And earlier we were talking about so many people here in the Valley will say to me, well, heart disease is in my family. There's nothing I can do. There is many things we can do because of the research that's occurred within the past 20 years and most notably in the past 5 years.
All right, we're going to take a break for headline news. Bill and Mary, hang on. We're going to get to your phone calls next. Bill has a question about stents and Mary has a question about scar tissue in the heart. We'll get to those. Plus, we have questions about children and diet and statins. Man, oh man, we got a busy day. 883-0098. We'll be right back. Five minutes now before 5 o'clock. Holy moly, do we have phone calls? Caroline de Richmond is here. Mark Davis sparking this whole program because he wants to make a difference.
I told you it would help a lot of people. I told you.
I thought, oh boy, it's President's Day. I wonder if phones are going
nuts. I know. I can see all the lights blinking from over here. And one goes out, another one comes on. Yeah.
Let's go to line 4. Bill has been hanging on from Duryea. What's your question for Caroline, Bill?
Caroline, thank you so much. Good program. Caroline, my question is, why don't doctors do a cardio CAT scan to determine how much calcification you have? I've had 7-8 different stress tests on treadmills with nuclear, the whole thing. Never a problem. And I kept pressing my doctor, and he finally sent me for a CAT scan of my heart. And I had a 90% blockage and an 80% blockage. And they put two stents in right after I had that. And if I didn't press him to get that test, I would have just been a ticking time bomb. Because the stress tests on the treadmill, they don't always pick up anything. So I just wanted your opinion on that.
But he's so right, because that's what you told me. Mm-hmm. I had a calcium score, mm-hmm. and mine was high. And that's what, as you looked at that with the cardiologist and said, something else is here. So she kept digging because of the calcium score, right?
Right. And this is what I do. You know, I'm a member of the National Lipid Association. I also sit on the regional board of directors. And in the guidelines from the National Lipid Association, these CAC scores have finally made it in there. So what is a CAC score? A CAC score gives you the same radiation as a mammogram. And unfortunately, not all insurance companies have recognized it. It's in the National Lipid Association guidelines, but it hasn't gotten to the insurance companies. So it's approximately $125 or less. And what it does, it just scans and gives us a percentage or a number of the latent calcium in the coronary vessels. Now, with
is this a CAT scan?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
for $125.
Yeah, it takes like 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah, and you put your hands up and they put you in a tube and that's it.
Now that's exactly what I did with Mark. Yep. When he first came to me, I checked a couple markers that are typical for FH, but I said to him, you know, you're past the prime age. I'm going to get a CAC score on you, and there's percentiles, and Mark's was greater than 940.
Yep.
CAC scores should be zero. So just like this gentleman on the phone, I then sent Mark for a functional study, and we found a small abnormality, but it truly is the CAC score gave me the biggest information, the calcium score.
Okay, pardon me for closed circuit here, but I have my my doctor's appointment is Wednesday morning, which I'm going before my triathlon. So do I say to him, hey, I want this test?
Well, you know, again, we're hearing about the people that are the high risk, and I think someday we may see more recommendations towards that. But it's another guideline, just as this gentleman that called in said that stress tests were always never positive for him. The same thing with Mark. Mark came to me with no coronary symptoms, no chest pain, no shortness of breath, no inkling other than I knew he had FH, proven genetically through his son. And I knew how devastating the sequelae could be, and it was absolutely indicated for him.
See, on the bottom of my last thing, it said NRCV. I said, what the heck is that? He said, no risk of cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. So I guess that means that I'm not high risk based on everything he saw in the last blood work.
Now, what's important is the American College of Cardiology does have a risk stratification score that will look at your risk in a 10-year period. We don't do that with patients with FH because they don't matter. Mark's a perfect example. It looks at your blood pressure, your age, factors like that. That's one risk factor that they can give you a higher percentage. Quite often I see people in my lipid clinic where they're like, should I be on a statin? Shouldn't I be on a statin? And if I get this CAC score, it's enough to convince people this is the drug that's going to save me from a heart attack, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to work with you to get on it.
So really, your cholesterol numbers could be, and in my case they were, the tip of the iceberg.
Correct.
You have to dig below and get. I never knew what a CAC score was.
I never even heard of it.
I had
it
my carotid done, and now she's got a, as you said when I had these tests, now she's got a baseline, so as my care continues, she'll know where we started and where we're going.
All correct. Right, let's go back to the phones. Mary in Falls, what's your question, Mary?
My son-in-law blacked out, and they have a wonderful heart. He was under the care of the heart specialist at the Geisinger. He's a marvelous doctor. And they didn't have this certain equipment, which is used by a scientist or a specialist from Germantown. And he was placed in the Pennsylvania State Hospital in Philadelphia. He was in there a week having tests. And you know what they found out? He had scar tissue. And I am wondering, this has me rather surprised. They cut him open like in the chest area, I believe. And I'm wondering, they told him before the test he could either have a heart attack or a stroke.
So what's your specific question about scar tissue? We'll see if we get a comment on that. Go ahead, Caroline.
Mary, I don't have enough information about your son-in-law's case, but there are some conditions that are genetically inherited that are on the rarer side where we see a change in the muscular structure of the heart, such as amyloid, can affect the heart, such as non-compaction, where the heart tissue looks spongy. So I really can't even speculate, and I'm very sorry about that if I knew more information.
What about this? Great show. Can you ask Carolyn, how good is taking Metamucil daily for lowering cholesterol?
So, you know, there are several drugs that we use to treat cholesterol. We've talked about the statins, which have been studied the most in research. We also have another drug called ezetimibe, or Zetia, you may know it. It works as almost like a traffic gate to let cholesterol into the body or otherwise not let it in. I have some people that I tell them, with a healthy lifestyle, healthy diet, the most fiber, whole grain you can get, and some of my patients who truly are intolerant of some of these drugs, they may be taking a statin twice a week, and they may be taking the Zetia. Increase your fiber, take Metamucil, that's good because it helps flush out the cholesterol.
All right. I have at least 10 really, really good questions that I really want to get in before we lose the benefit of Caroline DeRichmond and Mark Davis who are here. So I'm going to take your phone call and then I'm going to ask you to listen to the answer off air. So Philip in Hanover Township, what's your question for Caroline?
Carol, agree or disagree? Many studies have shown that statin drugs deplete a very important thing that keeps our heart healthy and strong, namely CoQ10.
All right, let's get a comment on that. Go ahead, Caroline.
So CoQ10 is similar to like the ions in a car battery, and they help the muscle function, okay? And there has only been one study with cholesterol medicine, statins, and CoQ10, and that was done over 18 years ago in 100 men. So there's no data to support that's going to help you tolerate your statin drugs. As far as your heart health, there's nothing really to say you absolutely have to take it because it would be in the guidelines. It's an expensive drug. It's over the counter. I can tell you there's maybe about 2% of patients that I will use it and it works for them, but we don't have clinical randomized trial data on that.
All right. Charlene and Tunkhannock, what's your question?
Yeah, I'd like a second opinion. This is my first time I've had a cholesterol count given. It was very, it was high total, 269. The LDL was 150, but my HDL was 111, and my triglycerides were 40. So some people thought that was good. The doctor, lady doctor that had the test, wanted me to go on a medication. So what do you think?
Well, that's a very good question. And we've been focusing on the LDL that affects people with familial hypercholesterolemia, but the other two components are very important. The high healthy cholesterol, the LDL, we expect it in women to be over 50. There are a certain group of people that it's very high, and yours is very high. And is there a family history of cardiovascular disease in your family?
She's disconnected.
And that would be the true thing there. I would certainly consider maybe meeting with a lipid specialist to look at that a little bit closer, because we don't know, and there are many people that end up with cardiovascular disease with these very high HDLs above 100.
And the cholesterol numbers are good to know, but as I've learned over the last year plus seeing Caroline, it's only the tip of the iceberg. You need to delve deeper into all those other scores to get a complete picture. It may be the initial indicator, but it's only the start of the search, right?
Correct.
Okay. We wanted to get to this one, and we just forgot about it. Children on statins, does that mean the diet doesn't work?
Very good question. The American Academy of Pediatrics has guidelines for how to test children with cholesterol levels. Diet is crucial. You know, we're living in a world where everything's processed and manufactured, and people are parents are working and they get fast food, and children end up with poor diets. The hallmark of taking care of any type of cholesterol problem, whether it's inherited or it's happened because of what you're eating or doing, is getting a proper healthy diet. For children, limiting screen time, which I mean television, the computer, the board games. You know, I was out on the corner playing stickball when I was young,
right,
not sitting in front of a computer.
Right.
It is the crux to everything, especially with children. We are living in a society where more children are becoming diabetics from being overweight, not being active and eating well.
I am 55. At 54, I was diagnosed with cardiovascular disease with 30% calcification. I always had high triglyceride and was on fenofibrate. They stopped that, put me on 40 milligrams of atorvastatin. Why would they do that if I had high cholesterol?
All right, that's a very good question also. The triglycerides can be elevated, and 90% of the time they can be modified by a proper diet. Watching your sugars, watching your carbohydrates can lower them. And yes, until very recently, it was always the fibrates to help that. Adding more fiber to your diet and taking a pill that has fiber in it. But when you were diagnosed, even though it was 30% of cardiovascular disease, you need plaque stabilization that doesn't become 70% or 100% as it became with Mark.
Yep.
Because once it's over 70%, you need a stent. Once it's 100%, you're going to have a heart attack. So the bottom line is your provider did the right thing to put you on what we know in research will stabilize plaque, and that's statin therapy, and it will also lower your triglycerides.
Joseph in Scranton, you have a question about stents, right?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for taking my call. All right, on the stents, I have 10 of them, and I have, there's different kinds. There was coated, uncoated, cobalt, titanium. What is the best stent? And I had a couple that occluded that I had to go back in there and have angioplasties or stents put back in. Many of my stents are in the circumflex area.
All right, I'll ask you to listen off air as Carol talks about that. Wow.
Wow is right.
There are several generations of stents. And over the years, each year they improve.
Yeah.
And obviously, this gentleman has had coronary disease for a long time. And I mentioned earlier with one of the other callers that once the stent goes in, it's still up to you to minimize your risk factors, control your diabetes, right, eat well, be active, take care of that, so that the risk factor, if you're smokers, so many people are smokers, that will trigger the things that will block these stents up, and you'll be back in the cath lab.
So even though you open up the artery with the stent, you can close it back up by lifestyle or right, problems like that, not paying attention to your diet.
Cheesesteak for breakfast, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Carol, ask Carol, 20 years ago, Graves' disease. Last 7 years, parathyroid disease, 9 kidney stones, calcium type. What should I be checking in my heart? Thanks. And then we're going to ask you to cure global warming. Yeah.
I think obviously, you know, we don't have time here today, but this cholesterol breakdown, if the thyroid is off, the cholesterol panel will be altered. So definitely, if you ever find you have a cholesterol problem, make sure your thyroid is normalized.
And that is one thing that I never knew. By, again, the hand of God, my primary care physician left town to take another job. I was transferred to another doctor. The first thing he did was get my thyroid checked. I had thyroid issues for years and didn't even know it.
Right. Right.
And I didn't know it interacted with the cholesterol till I saw Caroline. She said, well, that's why Dr. Spagnolini put you on that. And now I take thyroid medicine first thing every morning to stabilize my thyroid, because I didn't even know that had any effect at all on cholesterol.
This is an incredible program. Yeah. I hope you listening are learning something, because I sure am. You know, let's get back to the phones. Joe in Berwick, what's your question?
Hello, thank you, and thank you to your guests as well. I've had high cholesterol the past few years. It's been tested. And one of the things I've done, since I'm not on any kind of cholesterol drugs, I started incorporating a lot more omega-3 fatty acid into my diet, because I've heard that helps people with slightly higher cholesterol.
All right, Joe, we'll ask you to listen to the comment off air. Boy, I tell you. And while you're thinking about omega-3, someone wants to know if milk thistle helps.
Well, first of all, for the milk thistle and also the omega-3s, you have to remember that those over-the-counter drugs are not regulated by the FDA. And you have to look very closely at the bottle. Many of my patients, I have them bring... All my patients in the lipid clinic, I have them bring all the over-the-counter meds so I can look at them to see what the content is. Now, there was a recent trial, the REDUCE-IT trial, which looked at using a prescriptive fish oil called Vascepa, and it can reduce cardiovascular disease by 25% if you're diabetic or if you already have pre-existing coronary artery disease. So we've proven it in research. I don't do things because I like them, Frank. I do them because I have research to support the benefit for most of my patients.
I want to give you the last couple minutes, but smoking. I mean, we didn't even talk about it yet, and I think it's like public enemy number one, isn't it?
It truly is, and tragically, most of us grew up in the era where it was fashionable. And I always say to patients, you know what? The tobacco company took a lot of your hard-earned money and you're here with me today. Get angry enough to quit. Oh. And especially patients that suffer with familial hypercholesterolemia, it is just setting up for the perfect storm if they continue to smoke.
Your last comments.
Well,
I mean,
there are people
going to be making doctor's appointments because of you.
Well, and that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted, because... My wife and I had a long talk after I first started seeing Caroline. And my wife said some things that shook me to my core. She said, well, what if you died when the kids were young? What if this? Mm-hmm. What if that? We are so lucky to be sitting here mm-hmm. to have the forum to do something like this. I just wanted people to benefit like I've benefited. I don't know why I was one of the lucky ones that got to be in my 60s with my history, with all my other factors. Mm-hmm. To not have a major heart attack and just, like my brother, collapse and die on the spot.
Right.
So I felt the need to do this. And that's why when I saw Caroline last week, I said, will you do this? She said, absolutely. What day do you want me there? I mean, because this is what she does. And information is power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've learned more in the year plus that I've seen her all these different factors, which I've always had, and I didn't know one interacted with the other. And that got me to the stress test, got me to the stent, got me to where I am now. And I never had the symptoms, even though I had all these risk factors, more than I even know that I knew a year ago.
Caroline, thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your work. Thank you for being here.
It was my pleasure to be here today.
I have a feeling we'll be bringing you back.
Yeah, I think so, too.
We'll be right back. WILK. All right, last 30 seconds is yours, Caroline DeRichmond, Geisinger Cardiology. Go ahead.
On April 25th of this year, Geisinger is holding a Family Hypercholesterolemia Community Day. If you are diagnosed with familial hypercholesterolemia, you or your family member, you can attend this free. I will be there. People from the FH Foundation, Mark will be there sharing his story.